Starscream here, and I am the lord and master of the Geekcast Radio Network. Don't tell Megatron.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Joining me on this adventure in Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
We are here. We are waiting.
Yes, we are here, and we have... we waited, so that way... We wouldn't have to almost bring you breaking news during the show.
It just seemed like it kept coming out.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. Any fandom, it doesn't matter what the fandom is. The new, if it's hot and it's now and it's, you know, wow or whatever, it's a constant cycle of stuff. So we waited and I thought I linked us to the best 8 news stories that you and I would want to talk about. We actually have 9 news stories because a new news story as of today came out. So we're odd here at the Geekcast Radio Network. Now, this first one, I figured you would love it. Officially licensed Transformers Beast Wars art prints by Vincent Aseo, I assume is how his name is pronounced. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah, you get a large Transformers Beast Wars art prints. It's got Optimus, Rhinox, Cheetor, Dinobot, Silverbolt. Wow, Tigatron. You got Black Arachnia and Pterosaur in the background, as long with Waspinator and Scorponok. And in the very back is a kind of mouth-open smiling Beast Wars Megatron, because his arms, his T-Rex arm and his other arm, are wrapped around the Maximals. I want this.
I want this as well.
Yeah, I want this. I want this so bad. So this comes in 2 versions. It comes in
So what's the difference?
That's what I'm going to get to. So the Transformers Beast Wars regular edition is Euro, I guess, $39.99. Edition size, hand numbered edition of 75 prints. Print type, fine art print, pigment print on Ferengi Arena archival art paper, 300 grams or GSM, 16 by 24 inches. The other version is Predacon edition, €29.99. I assume it's euros. Edition size, hand numbered edition of 50 prints. Print type, fine art pigment print on Mohawk superfine eggshell archival art paper, 270 GSM, dimensions 11 by 17 inches. So that's the difference. It's different paper, and it's a smaller size.
See, I like the smaller size, to be honest. Just for spacing purposes.
Yeah. I have... So, when Karen was still alive, one... The first... Christmas or whatever that we were out in Washington State, we found this local artist who was doing these amazing scenic prints of areas in Washington and Oregon. And he was running a sale during the holidays that year, 2019, I believe. And it was 3 of his prints, as long as they were in his selected sale section, 3 of his prints for $129. We bought Midnight Tides, something else, and something else. Multnomah Falls, I forget what the Pacific Tides, maybe. I don't remember. But they're 3 art prints, but they're all 16 by 24. And the only way at the time that I could get 16 by 24 frames is to buy them as a two pack. So I have three art prints and four frames. So I have an extra 16 by 24 frame that that I could put the larger one in. But yes, I absolutely, yeah, I really think I want this. Pre-orders will go live this Friday, June 9th, following time zone 6. Oh, via More Art Gallery. Oh, crap. It's June 12th.
It's already out.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Oh, crap. It's June 12th. I wonder if it's already sold out.
No, it's still there.
Okay. That's not bad. The 16 by 24 is just over $50. The 11 by 17 is just under 40. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I need to find 50 something dollars plus shipping. Damn it. Anyway. but yeah, this is so cool. This is very, very cool. Very, very fun. And it's a really nice art design of the Maximals and the Predacons. It's cool.
I likes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Me too. All right. Well, I've saved that link. Up next, we have Lorenzo Di Bonaventura speaking out about Transformers 1 animated movie. He says, he was speaking to Collider. He says, I don't know about when we'll see the first footage. It'll be a while. I can't tell you how excited I am getting about it. It's one of those things that, like, it just keeps progressing in the right direction, you know? You never know. Sometimes when you're making a movie, you're like, well, I think it's working. Everything I'm seeing is working, and it's exceeding my sense of what it was going to be. So I'm really excited about it, and it's a very fresh and different look. I would say different than any animated movie you've seen, which is high bar to set, but ILM is capable of delivering it. He also spoke highly of the voice cast. Also, it's the imagination of our artists and our director, and one of the great things is you actually put the voices to the characters. When we first listen to Chris Hemsworth's voice, you're like, God, is he going to be good? Optimus. Okay, now, I will continue what this quote is, but there has been an update to what Hemsworth is actually doing, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Obviously, he starts as Orion Pax. You don't become Optimus for a while. So he's not playing for most of the movie what we think as Optimus Peter Cullen. So it's that transition, and Chris's voice has a timbre that is logical that Peter Cullen would take over for that voice if you would, which is really great. The fans are going to really feel great. But Scarlett Johansson is amazing, and it's coming alive in a way that is really rewarding, and we have confidence in our director. And all he's doing is giving us more and more. So we have confirmation that, yes, Chris Hemsworth is playing a voice in Transformers 1. He is not playing Optimus Prime. He is playing Orion Pax. I am perfectly fine with that, because what's going to happen, as far as I can tell from all the stories I'm reading, Hemsworth is going to play the Orion Pax character. Peter Cullen will come in and play the traditional standard Optimus we've known for the last 40 years. Just like the voice actor who played Orion Pax in the original Generation 1 cartoon. So it isn't Chris Hemsworth taking over the Optimus Prime role as so many others have been cast as that character. I'm okay with, I'm good with that.
I have some gripes.
Okay.
And it's not, believe it or not, it's not Chris Hemsworth. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm fine with him playing Orion Pax. Like, I'm fine with that taking place. Having, I think we've kind of hit this point now with the Transformers content. We need to move on from Peter Cullen. And I hate saying that. I really do. But I felt like he was trying too hard in Rise of the Beasts, like, to hit that timber.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it just did not. And it wasn't even, you know, the fact that they made Prime kind of a grumbly old, you know, crotchety bot, you know, that's like, oh, don't talk to the humans, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like the live action movies have kind of tainted his character and his vocal performance, in the sense that they've made each Transformers film gets darker. Mm-hmm. than the previous one, and not just in like the nighttime shots, but the fact that not a lot of it's during the day, or not a lot of it's very bright. There's no, like, the robots seem to be, and this is kind of a gripe on all of the films, but even Rise of the Beast, without going into plot, just talking vocal performance, it's like when you're watching War for Cybertron.
Uh-huh.
The trilogy, where everyone is talking in the same deep, gravelly voice, it gets really hard to care about any of the performances because they all sound so much alike. Like, I had such a difficult time differentiating between all of the villains and all of the heroes that did talk. Even the ones that I know have lighter voices were pitched to be more bass heavy. And adding more of that ambience to it, which I felt like was really overdone. And I don't know if that's what happened with Peter Cullen or not, because it seemed like they were really like Primal and Optimus Prime both pretty much sounded enough similar that it was jarring. And again, I'm not nitpicking that movie just yet. But I feel like at this point we need to move on to somebody who can hit like a lighter timber of Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. And whether it's the guy that did it on, you know, Cyberverse, whether it's John Bailey, which honestly I would throw my hat in for him. I think we've kind of hit this point where we almost need to move on from him. and I'm not saying that lightly, because I mean the man's great. I love the job he's done in the character over the years, but I think we've hit this point where he's kind of tapped it out.
Well, the thing is that the brand and the
brand has been hosed too over the years.
It has, yes, but. It's about to reach its 40th anniversary next year, and Optimus Prime will always be the leader of the Autobots. No one can change that. Yes, Peter Cullen is not going to be around forever, unfortunately. I wish we could, you know, put him on ice or something. But there's always going to be an Optimus Prime, because he's the, like, there is no other. I mean, there is the chosen one, but that's a whole other discussion. But
I know, but like they've kind of really screwed the character, just because, and I felt this with War for Cybertron, and I felt this with Rise of the Beasts. The Beast Wars characters get shafted, and most of all, Bumblebee continues to be shafted.
Yeah.
And it's just, it, kind of wearing thin at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm kind of sadly done with it. I don't know. I wish that they would just go back to some lighter, less heavy Transformers content.
I think with Rise of the Beasts and Transformers 1 next year, everything I've heard about people who have seen Rise of the Beasts, I have not seen it yet. I will not see it until it hits digital or physical media, because I don't have money to go to the theater and any of that kind of stuff anymore. And I really don't want to go to the theater at all. So I will see it when I see it. But it's one of those things where everything I've heard, they're like, yes, this is the new start. Like, yes, this is the Bayverse is over. This is a new
Rebooted it with Bumblebee.
Well, yes and no.
They did.
They did, but Bumblebee technically takes place before Transformers 2007, but that's an argument for another day. What I've heard people say about Rise of the Beast is that this is the beginning of a new trilogy, is what I've heard. So, either way.
They need to stop.
There were
definitely good moments in this film. There were a lot more on the other side of it, because it's mostly setting up a G.I. Joe film.
Yeah. Yeah, it's setting up G.I. Joe to be in the Transformers is what it's setting up. But we will talk about that in a moment, because that also is one of the stories. I know you don't really care about this. I have checked out several of the tracks. I have not listened to it from cover to cover yet, but I will. Transformers Rise of the Beast, music from the motion picture score, is out digitally now on all platforms like Spotify and Apple and all that other stuff. And before we get to more, let me see, where is that other movie story? Here we go. We'll do this all in one, since we're talking about movie news. Transformers Rise of the Beast Blu-ray, DVD, and digital listings found. It's already in theaters, but we can also report several Blu-ray, DVD, and digital releases for those already interested in buying a copy of the latest live-action movie. Pre-orders have showed up at Target websites. Choose your favorite format, blah, 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 blah. Release date is yet to be announced, but you can secure your copies now. Be sure to watch Transformers Rise of the Beast. It says on theaters this weekend. On theaters, jeez. Come on, you guys. Do better. Prices for these is U.S. dollars. $29.99 for the DVD, $24.99 for the Blu-ray plus digital, and $29.99 for the 4K / UHD copy. I will have to see what it is on Vudu for digital. I have not looked at that yet, so I'll check that out later. All right, folks, finally it's happening, and apparently Robert Kirkman is pissed that everyone knows now because they weren't ready, but the new home for the Transformers and G.I. Joe comics has been revealed. Via Bleeding It Cool website, we have a very interesting article which finally reveals the new home for Transformers and G.I. Joe comics. After IDW losing both of the Transformers and G.I. Joe licenses at the end of 2022, it was unclear which would be the new editorial for each of Hasbro's franchises, not officially at least. Now we finally have details about this new comic project. Transformers and G.I. Joe will be making their debut appearance together for Image Comics and Skybound Entertainment in Void Rivals number 1 out next week. And this will begin a new Skybound comic book license with Hasbro for Transformers and G.I. Joe. Void Rivals is a new comic book by Robert Kirkman, Mateus Lopez, and Lorenzo De Felicis. I think I probably butchered that. I'm sorry, Lorenzo. From Image Comics and Skybound, being published next week. The featured image on this news post was used as just a reference. Official art hasn't been revealed yet. And I have not seen, I don't think, the original article, which I'm looking at now.
They use the same art.
Yeah, they use the same art, but they have the covers for Void Rivals shown here.
They have nothing Transformers or G.I. Joe related on them.
Right, yeah, it's just. But at least we now finally know which company has the license for the comics. At this point, that's all I wanted to know, was a confirmed named company of who was getting it. I can now wait and see what is going to happen. And there's silence.
I don't know what to think yet. I really don't, because I don't.
You're not familiar with Skybound. Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm familiar with Image, and Image, from what I remember of them, they did really well with their comic books, especially when they did G.I. Joe versus Transformers content. Majority, and see, this is what's weird about it. Is it a joint venture between Image and Skybound?
I think so.
Or is Skybound?
I think this is what it is. Voids, number one, the Voids series or whatever that's going to be, that's the joint. And then Skybound has the license going forward from that. I think that's the way that the article reads. That's the way that I assume it to be. And if I'm assuming it to be that way and it's wrong, I'm sorry, I'm an ass, folks.
I'm hoping that this doesn't look like total dog snot, because majority of their stuff is like kind of horror based.
Well, it's Robert Kirkman. It's the Walking Dead guy. What do you expect?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised. I'm cautious.
Yeah.
I'm not optimistic.
I'm cautiously curious about it. It's obviously a wait and see until they give us like an official cover for a Transformers or G.I. Joe book. I know Image is in the middle of starting their own superhero universe with Radiant Black and Rogue Sun and the Dead Lucky and all of that. So I'm even surprised to see their name attached to this at all. But again, cautiously curious is what I will say. So
I'm just cautious. I can't say I'm optimistic.
Yeah.
Just because majority of what I've seen just on their reel of things, I'm not impressed.
Okay.
So it's I'll wait and see once the art and the first couple issues, because I'll probably pick up the first couple issues to kind of get a feel of it.
Yeah.
But if the art is horrible, I won't pick it up at all.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they do this justice, or they get some people that used to work on or worked at IDW for Transformers or worked with like Dreamwave or something. I don't know. I'm just,
yeah,
I'm not sure what to think yet.
Yeah, we need a more fleshed out full announcement. We need
more than just they're going to show up in this. I don't even think they're going to be a part of the comic, the storyline. I think they're going to be an ad somewhere inside or a small little preview. I think that's literally what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing listed in the description of the of the coming comics.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, we have the Tokyo Toy Show 2023. This is TFW's coverage and information about the future of the Masterpiece line. Toy Tokyo 2023 is finally ended, but our very own mod Gamer Lingual, who is living in Japan now, was able to attend the last day and not only get for us a nice gallery of the toys on display, but he was able to talk with Takara Tomy representatives and ask them about the future of the Masterpiece line. Porsche license under discussion right now. It's not up to them to decide, and they are waiting on Porsche to give the green light to make the Masterpiece. They showed him images of the rumored Masterpiece cliff jumper, and he said he can't comment. I'm looking at him like, duh, people know. Future reissues of MP44 Hound, etc. are on the table of discussion. Future Masterpiece MPGs will not stay at 30 centimeters, he said. Will not. Whether they change their minds or not is to be determined. Higher-ups, Takara, Tomy executives, directors, upper management, etc. are preventing the decision of when to finish up G1, but the hope is their Masterpiece Rhinox is confirmed, but release date and MP number haven't been decided yet. So that's the news. And then we have the Masterpiece Rhinox announced at the show. Various reports on Twitter that Masterpiece Rhinox, no photos were allowed. His signature Chain Guns of Doom were apparently shown as a teaser. So there's that. What do you think of the pictures from the Toy Tokyo show?
I'm kind of indifferent on some of it. I mean, I've seen a lot of these before.
Right.
In various transformation stages.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy to see them do some of it. Like the train bots, I don't care. Like, I believe that's Hoist.
Yeah.
But they have the masterpiece of.
Yeah,
I like Hoist. It just because I like the vehicle mode.
Yeah.
They've got a ton of like the movie Primal and the movie characters, which I've seen them all in stores and I honestly just don't.
You pass them by. They're not your thing.
Well, and that's and I feel bad for saying that, but it's more so they look cheap. It's there. There's nothing like they don't scream quality to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem. Like the Prime looks pretty good. I've seen the Studio Series Rhinox before and I'm like, it's okay. Like, I mean, if they had a Studio Series Primal,
yeah,
I would possibly consider it, but I don't care about the rest of them enough. Like the Prime is pretty cool,
yep.
But I've only seen them like once. And then while I like the fully detailed, like, you know, the Megatron with the scowl of the basically the repainted Kingdom figures.
Yep.
I mean, one, I have the Kingdom figure and I have the Toy Hacks, and so it looks good.
Yep.
But I also have the Masterpiece, so I have no need for this. But what's funny is they're showing these with these full details, like these production looks.
Uh-huh.
I bet you that they're going to come out and they will not look like this.
Probably.
That being said, if you're looking for a poor man masterpiece, all in scale, the Kingdom, these repainted ones by Takara are probably the best way to go.
Yeah, probably.
The Rhinox looks great, much better than the store release. The Megatron looks spectacular. Primal doesn't look that much different. Scorponok looks a little different. There's not that much different. The Cheetor figure looks freaking spectacular. Just because the paint job is just like it looks masterpiece. And then Waspinator looks a lot better. I mean, granted, he doesn't look that much different, but the Cheetor and the Megatron and the Rhinox just really stand out from those. I've seen the Black Arachne and Tigatron ones, and even those look pretty spot on as well. And then we get, you know, of course, the Rhinox guns, Chain Guns of Doom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm happy that they're finally circling back to Beast Wars Masterpiece stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, because one, TransArt's kind of owning the whole market right now with the Transmetals, the Transmetal 2s, and the Fusor Masterpieces.
Yep.
They're just crushing it. And
yeah.
I'm happy to see that Rhinox is finally getting his due. Like, some characters I feel obligated for Masterpiece and other ones I do not.
Yes.
So, I mean, it kind of depends. Like, I briefly toyed around, like, because I could get a knockoff, like, Dinobot for, like, $45
right
at one point. And I was like, do I really? But he's also, like, 9-10 inches tall. And I'm like, I don't really need anything that tall. so I'm like, you know. Whereas
won't
like
fit in your shelf.
Well, it's not even that. It's like I have Masterpiece Transmetal Rat Trap, and
right.
he's still shorter than Masterpiece Cheetor and shorter than Masterpiece Primal, and I'm like, okay, it's not that bad. And then you know, like the tarantulas that's going to eventually come out, he's going to be about the same height. So it's like, okay, he's only like maybe two heads taller than the actual original figure. Whereas right. Rhinox, I feel like he's going to be about that, you know, dwarfing over multiple characters. I like the masterpiece stuff. I really do. But just the sheer size of them is what kills me. Although there is a knockoff. I just saw like a knockoff Transmetal 2 Legacy Megatron coming.
Interesting.
And it's an oversized knockoff, so it doesn't say if he's what scale he is or how tall he is.
Right.
So I know he's taller than the Legacy one, which leads me to believe he might actually be Masterpiece scale.
Hmm.
And usually these knockoff companies, they nail the paint jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the proper face sculpt right from the gate. And I haven't seen production photos of it yet. I've just seen like the black and white stuff and then the face sculpt. But I'm like, ooh, so a company that gets it. And likely like they have oversized like Kingdom Rhinox. And I think he was like $30, which was the same price as the other one. Like they were like mimicking their price point for the legit one.
Interesting.
So I'm going to cautiously, optimistically keep my eye on it. Although I would rather have TransArt just because it'll go better. But for the moment, I'm happy with my Transmetal 2 Dragon. but yeah, so the only thing that about this Tokyo toy show that kind of bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
They have the Transformer characters, like the Autobots with the beast animals that pop out of the chest.
Uh-huh.
That's not in the movie. Like, it's like, why? Why did they have to do that? Or like the Terrorcon, Predacon, whatever the things are that combined with them.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't in the movie either.
Mm.
So it's just, I don't know. It's goofy. I do like the Studio Series Primal or whatever they're calling it. I don't know what it is, but they have it in this in one of the shots, and he looks pretty stinking good. Like almost borderline to where I would be like, because he's got all the gimmicks. He's got the swords, the shoulder cannons. The wrist-mounted guns, like, I'm like, okay, this one, I'm on the fence. But same thing with the one Prime, but again, I don't, these clearly do not cater to me.
Yeah.
Any gimmicks?
Yeah, they're. So we also have, kind of as a last toy news thing, Takara BWVS Rat Trap versus Pterosaur revealed.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the announcement of Masterpiece Rhinox at Toy Tokyo Show or Tokyo Toy Show 2023, Takara Transformers Twitter account has now brought us another piece of news in the form of the next BWVS set, Rat Trap versus Pterosaur. These actually look really good.
Hmm.
I mean, just as standing robots in the picture.
I will say Rat Trap looks good.
Okay. What's wrong with Pterosaur that you don't like him?
Well, Rat Trap, they, instead of painting him that off weird color that they painted him for everything, he actually pretty closely matches.
Right.
Not totally, but you know, close enough, and they put more detail into his paint job than the original, because I repainted mine, but I also repainted my Thrilling 30 to look like the show.
Right.
Pterosaur is all kinds of wrong. There's nothing on him that is painted properly. Except for the red.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Like,
Pterosaur is a little too white.
Well, not only that, though, all of the white that's on him uh-huh. is supposed to be like a combination of silver
mm-hmm.
or like a gunmetal metallic.
Yep.
And none of it is. And yeah. then the other thing that bothers me is looking at his like his lower legs where they're black.
Yeah, that's yeah.
That's supposed to be red. There's no markings for his like toe claws where they're like supposed to be silver, or the pterodactyl toes where they're supposed to be like that yellow color, or the
yeah. Thing.
Like I felt like if it's supposed to be a premium finish, it should feel like a premium finish.
And it's not.
Like the hands are the wrong color. Like there's literally nothing that's painted correctly on this. Even the eyes are wrong. The
so do you think...
eyes are red.
Oh yeah, wow. So do you think this image is just a pre-production no. image that okay.
I think this is the legit image that they're yeah. I was
yikes.
Pretty, yeah, I don't know what they were thinking here. Like I said, Rat Trap looks pretty on point with his color palette.
Yeah.
The kind of bronze and the gold and the, you know, those color mixtures, even the gun barrel. The very tip has the paint job. And they have a dot in his eye, for crying out loud. Like Rat Trap is like to the T show almost, yep. except for the legs. Like, I mean, what they could do being that he has to kind of fit the aesthetic of how he transforms.
Yeah.
Terrorsaur, I don't know what they did here. Like, I would rather own the Golden Disc version or even the Target release, because at least the Target release was closer.
Yeah.
And so. This is one of those instances where you buy the knockoff, the oversized knockoff,
mm-hmm.
for $30, and he is painted just like the show. Like the paint job I did to my Golden Disc Terrorsaur.
Yeah.
Is the same paint job they put on the oversized knockoff.
Yeah.
And this does not. So when I saw this image, I was kind of just befuddled that they even put no effort. So I'm hoping that this is like a very early paint job.
Yeah, that's what I said. Maybe this is a early pre-production thing. Like they release. It's kind of like how certain news stories get leaked and stuff. Like maybe this is a leak. I mean, it looks like an official image. It has official Japanese text at the bottom and all that. But maybe it's an image of a piece of the product that wasn't ready to be photographed yet.
Like I said, I'm hoping.
Yeah. Oh, hoping and praying.
I wouldn't go that far, but I'm hoping that they're that they're going to correct it. But I sincerely doubt it.
Yeah. And the last bit of news that we have is that Transformers Rise of the Beasts sequel seemingly greenlit, question mark? Spoiler warning, this news post contains spoilers from Transformers Rise of the Beasts. So you have been warned, folks. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. Skip ahead about 10 minutes if you don't want to hear this. Speaking to Entertainment Weekly, producer Lorenzo Di Bonaventura and director Stephen Caple Jr. seemingly confirmed a green-lighted sequel for Rise of the Beasts. We are also not through with the Maximals, so I imagine in the next movie we'll have Maximals, Autobots, and Joes, says Mr. Di Bonaventura. Caple, speaking with EW separately, confirms that he is deep into development of the Rise of the Beasts sequel. It is definitely going to incorporate some Joes characters, but it won't go into maybe the true origins of the Joes. The idea of trying to do the whole Joe world at the same time is a little daunting, Di Bonaventura confirms. This is a way to bring them into our world, remind people of who they are, and they'll have a role in the plot. So, sequel has already been... da-da-da-da. Okay. hey, I'm on board with this. Like, I'm excited to see, even though I'm not seeing it until it hits digital, like I said, Vudu or whatever. I'm good. I'm very highly interested in seeing what they are going to do with these next three films. So I'm set. I'm perfectly fine.
I'm not making any comment because it's going to tell exactly what I thought about this film. I was not impressed. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, boy.
It felt like watching... I felt like I watched the last two films all over again.
Really? What? Come on. Everything I've seen about this movie...
Primal was the highlight.
Okay.
Everything else, I felt like I was watching The Last Night all over again.
Really? That's surprising to me.
Huh. A lot of it was just contradictory, unresolved plot lines, impossible events, continuity errors, illogical stuff. It just, yeah, I wish that they would have done more. And there was like way too much human. Like,
I've heard the exact opposite of what you're saying as far as there was way too much human. Like,
I've heard Prime is more Prime robots. Is a spiteful, hateful. Yeah. I mean, if they all sound the same. Yeah. Great.
Okay.
I think this is one of those films that's going to like polarize the fandom again, like kind of like Beast Wars and G1 where they're like truck not monkey.
Okay.
I very much feel like there's going to be this group that I feel like there's going to be like a four-part group. I feel like there's going to be some that were on the fence about it either way. I feel like you're going to have some that are hardcore onto it and love it and are going to defend it no matter what. I have a feeling there's going to be people that hate it no matter what. Regardless, I went in wanting to like it. And while there were points that I did enjoy, I felt like I wanted to fast forward through parts of it. Okay. And some of it, I felt like they were just there. Like there was nothing, there was no purpose of them being there, of certain characters, because it was just pure convenience. And some of the stuff was just, and they're always going after a thing.
Right. They're going after this.
Some world ending thing. And yeah. I would have liked to have seen more of what happened at the beginning of the film fleshed out more rather than the long contrivance we got to what we got. So okay. I'll leave it at that. It's like I said, I wanted to like it. I genuinely did, but I still left disappointed. So I don't know. I was hoping for something a little bit more. I really don't know, but I got more out of the first Transformers movie than I felt I got with this. And I get there was probably instances where there was more robot interaction. I just didn't find the human characters likable.
Okay.
But I think that's kind of a trend with all of the movies.
Yeah.
So
it has been a trend with all of the movies. Yeah.
I will say the male character that's in it.
Noah.
Yeah. I didn't mind him as much.
Yeah, all the trailers I've seen, he seems to be okay as a character.
He's okay as a character. He's not great.
He's not good. He's not bad.
The female character was literally just there to move the plot along. Like, there was really not much there, in my opinion. But
that kind of sucks.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was more of a plot point. Yeah. Throughout it, but a lot of the characters were kind of just there. There was nothing really to them, unless their name was Optimus or Scourge or Airazor. They kind of served little purpose. And RC, but yeah, everybody else was kind of just there.
Interesting. Yeah.
I wish they would move away from the dark, gravelly, like, everybody has to sound the same.
Everybody has to sound like this.
Yeah, they all sound like this when they're coming after each other. And it's just, I don't know, I think that's kind of where Beast Wars and G1 shined, is you had polar differences in vocals.
Yeah.
Not everything had to be dark and brooding and gruff, and you had a range. And, you know, and I'm not just talking about, you know, whether they're an RC to an Optimus Prime.
Right.
So
there were two characters that David Sobolov was supposed to be voicing, Cheetor and... No,
Rhinox and Battletrap.
Okay, and Rhinox both and of Battletrap. Them barely,
I don't even remember Rhinox talking. In Battletrap, I remember like two lines.
Okay. That's what...
Matrix. Cheetor said two things, but they were like almost unintelligible in how fast it moved.
Oh, jeez.
Surprisingly, Pete Davidson as Mirage.
Is the highlight?
Bad. Yeah, not bad. He added the much needed levity that I was surprised I didn't know I wanted.
That's
like,
awesome.
I literally was like, okay, I got to give it to him. He impressed me, and I was down in him. And see, like I said, I'm trying to find things I did like. And so, I did like Primal, because he was like pulling Prime out of his bootstraps, like, all right, come on, man.
Yep.
Rise up.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's things that I was very happy that happened, but then there were other things that I was kind of like disappointed. So yeah.
Very cool. Well, we will have to see what happens as we get closer. We are 6 months into 2023, folks, which means we are 6 months away from the 40th anniversary year of Transformers. And I just, as we've been talking about these news stories tonight, as you've been talking about you seeing Rise of the Beasts, I have plans. All I'm going to say is, anyone that's still listening to the TFG1 podcast, there's going to be new episodes, and there will be new episodes of a certain other non-energy drink podcast. Those bastards. They stole us. They stole our art. They stole our name, damn it.
They stole it from us.
Assholes. Stupid energy drink people. All right, you got anything else you would like to talk about Transformers-wise? Anything that you've picked up or anything that you want to, any toy figures you want to talk about or anything like that?
I mean, I don't know if I talked about the knockoff.
You mentioned that you repainted it. I don't think you've really mentioned that you got the, like, it's the alligator, right, that you bought?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned that you got it and you repainted it, but you haven't really said anything else.
Yeah, he's deluxe class or thereabout. He's like about a head short from being deluxe.
Okay.
But he's still taller than basic. And what's funny is when I got him, I had to switch his arms around, like his lower arm.
Right.
Because they had them on the wrong side, so it wouldn't transform properly.
Oh, no.
And I was like, okay, that's weird. And then the little alligator feet that are supposed to attach to the legs don't really attach to the legs very well. But I was like, I guess it's what you get when you get a knockoff. And then the tail has got a couple of issues too. But overall, I mean, it'll transform. It's just, it's bigger. It's, there's definitely some differences. And I was like, would have been better to have it legit, but I was happy to have just a knockoff that was a fraction of the cost. And I could repaint them and make him look like a mixture of what they had in the TF Wiki.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of adds my own flair to it. So it's my own. So now I have a Gator Megatron. I have the 10th anniversary Dinosaur Megatron. Mm-hmm. I have the Dawn of Future Past Megatron that I made. Kingdom Megatron. Masterpiece Megatron, Transmetal Masterpiece Megatron, and Legacy Transmetal 2 Megatron, as well as the Beast Machine Megatron.
Nice.
And my kid goes, "Why do you like Megatron so much?" I says, "Yes." And he's like, "No, why do you like him so much?" I says, "If you could do the voice, wouldn't you?" And he's like, "I don't know."
You have to pick an episode of Beast. Pick one episode of Beast Wars, one episode of Beast Machines. Like, whatever you personally think is Megatron's best episode from both shows, and then show them to Ian or Nolan or whichever kid. I assume it was Ian that asked you about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to sit down with Ian. Okay, we're going to watch the two best episodes that I think. This is the, besides the fact that I can do his voice, this is the reason why I like this character. And you just have to spend an hour with your kid in front of the TV watching Beast Wars and Beast Machines. Nothing wrong with that. All right, folks. I have opened 3-0 MDLX, Goldbug, and Cliffjumper. I've switched their heads. I've switched Goldbug's head, and I switched out Cliffjumper's hands. I switched out the closed fist for an open one so I could put his gun in his hand. So I've done that. Obviously, I still have
more than meets the eye.
I still have the Funko Pop Lights and Sounds Optimus in front of me. Haven't really bought any more Transformers stuff yet. I still have to open the Optimus and Nemesis 3-0 MDLX. I probably will have done that before the next episode of the podcast. I'm just interested to see where they're going to take the brand for the 40th anniversary and what they're going to do. I'm interested. I don't know where the interest is going to end up, whether it's going to end up on the positive or the negative side. But I'm, like I said before, with the movie and the potential threequel that we're getting with the trilogy of these new films, I'm cautiously curious about what's going to happen. That's the best I can put it, where it's, I'm just in a state of wonderment of wondering what the hell is going to happen next. I'm sure we will have a full spoiler-filled Rise of the Beasts discussion once I've seen it. And, yeah, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
Yep. Except Buzzworthy Bumblebee Studio Series 86 Ironhide and Prowl 2-pack.
Do they have heads?
Yes, they have heads.
Thank God.
What's funny is Prowl's face looks like he does when he's being when he's like before he falls over because the smoke coming out of his chest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dying, and yes, he's dying, got the Prowl damage to the front bumper. So he looks like he's dying, and then he comes with Ironhide with a big hole in his chest, and his mouth is open as well. So you can literally do dying bubble or Ironhide and Prowl.
At least they have heads to do that. I mean, that's the...
Well, Ironhide has a big, like, hole in his chest. So instead of his head being blown off, it's chest. Well, so they've made it, and they've made a determination. That's where he died.
Yeah, because we don't know where Megatron shot him. We know Megatron shot him.
We just know he went boom.
Yeah, he went boom. Megatron, so, yeah. No. Oh, all the stupid nonsense.
Such heroic nonsense.
That's what the line is. And we see the fusion cannon in front of Ironhide's face. We hear the fusion cannon sound, but we don't actually see it because the film cuts away to the outside of the ship or the planet or the fishing scene or whatever the hell it is that the next scene is. So, yeah. That's All Things Transformers, episode 444.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba-weep, Grana. Weep, Ninny-bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman, and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
So, thank you, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, along with...
Yes. The real Megatron.
Yeah.
I am TFG and Mike.
You can, of course, interact with us and the show on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at SCP21, and you can interact with the show, All Things TFV3. And you can interact with Mike at...
TFG and Mike, as well as at Geekcast Radio for the network.
Yep. So until next time, transform and transcend.
With a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.